Folks, welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And we broadcast a message of faith, family, and freedom. And of course, family begins with a respect for human life, something that doesn't happen much in our world today, where just about one in every two babies are aborted, if you include the abortifacient effects of the birth control pill and the widespread use of the day-after pill just over the last 10 years or so. Remember, there are five times the incidence of abortions by use of emergency contraception as in the case of surgical abortions, which means that Americans are killing their babies more than ever before. And that's why it's important for us to from time to time, reemphasize the importance, the value of life, encourage parents to love their children from the point of conception. On May 8th, 2006, something very interesting happened. We covered it 5 years ago on this radio program, but some of you may remember the Colorado State House of Representatives voted on a resolution honoring the 90th anniversary of a local branch of Planned Parenthood. Republican Representative Ten Harvey at that time invited Gianna Jensen, who was an abortion survivor whom he'd met as a singer, to sing the Star Spangled Banner on that day. She was greeted by applause for her singing. Attendees' reactions, though, quickly turned to surprise when Harvey admitted that this was a secondary reason for his invitation. According to Harvey, his words were, "Members, today we are going to recognize the 90th anniversary of Rocky Mountain Planned Parenthood. I just wanted to put a face to what we are celebrating today." Well, that happened some 5 years ago. What a surprise that was to those who have a hard time being self-consistent with their worldview on issues like abortion. Well, ladies and gentlemen, a new film is out called October Baby. It is a new feature-length film release based loosely on Gianna Jessen's life. It is produced by the Irwin Brothers. As some of you may know, are a group of producers who have done some things for Vision Forum in the past. But October Baby doing rather well in the box office right now. For the first week, it debuted at number 8 at the box office. On week number 2, number 7, so it climbed up just a smidge. And it is number 2 right now for films in fewer than 500 theaters. And coming up this Easter weekend, it appears that it may be in another 150 theaters, so it is expanding in interest around the United States. The film features actors John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard, you may remember the man, Jason Berkey, a Jasmine Guy, and Rachel Hendricks. And Jason Berkey is with me on the air right now via phone lines. Hey, Jason, welcome to our program here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, October Baby. This is a significant film. I mean, you know, I've heard a lot of really good things about it. It's doing pretty well in the box office. I mean, is it meeting expectations from your perspective?
Oh, it is. I think it surpassed any of our expectations. To have a low-budget independent film like this to be number 8 in the box office after opening weekend is kind of unheard of. We're a bit of a Cinderella story here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's incredible the response that we've gotten, and it's just blown us away.
What I've heard, great story, okay, fantastic acting. The acting is just great, and oftentimes for the independent films or the Christian sort of films that we have reviewed before on this radio program, you don't always get the best stories, don't always get the best acting. But you've got a lot of the right pieces that have come together for October Baby here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, it was just, we had a great cast, a great crew. We had all, actually, a lot of us, actors and crew, had worked together before with the Irwins on a project.
Okay.
In 2009. And so we created this family, and we work really well together. Everyone is just super talented that worked on this film. So we're pleased with it.
Great. Hey, Jason, take a moment and explain the story. I mean, this film is not in every single city in America yet, although I heard you're getting another maybe 150 theaters in the next week or so. But tell us a little bit about the story without giving the whole thing away, of course.
Right, yeah. So it follows the story of this 19-year-old girl, Hannah, who finds out that she's adopted, and on top of that, she's the survivor of a failed abortion. And so she kind of goes on this journey of self-discovery, try to discover answers about her past, where she came from. And I play her childhood best friend who kind of goes with her and encourages her on this journey.
Is there a love interest?
There is, yes.
Okay.
There is, yeah.
Okay.
Hannah was always like the girl next door for my character, and kind of this unspoken love between us.
Okay, gotcha.
So yeah.
Gotcha. And of course, and I've already sort of given away in the introduction to the program, but she discovers she is an abortion survivor.
Yes,
and that's
correct.
That's a pretty intense story. If you think about it, I don't know any other motion picture out there that's addressed something this dramatic, something this important and significant. That's a big story. I mean, it really is, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it really is. And you know, John Irwin, one of the directors, he saw Gianna Jessen, an abortion survivor, speak and was just kind of floored by her story, and that's what kind of inspired the film. And
wow,
you know, it was a powerful story. When I first read the script, I was like, wow, I didn't even realize that there were abortion survivors out there. But you know, it ultimately, it's just it's a strong, well-told story, character-driven story. So
it really tells the story of a human being and what it is to be a human being. And, you know, babies are real people, and parent-child relationships really do matter. And I think that touches a lot of people because, you know, not everybody's got the best parent-child relationship. You know, a lot of kids have to overcome, you know, different difficulties in their relationship, perhaps even abuse and such things like this. And it's important, I think, from time to time to tell stories where we say, hey, we're real people. We're in relationship. And when relationships go bad, it really hurts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very human story. It's got it has universal themes in it that everyone can connect with. I think the biggest one is the power of forgiveness. You know, I think everyone in their life has either had the need to forgive someone or had the need to be forgiven, and so they could connect with that when watching this movie.
Yeah. What is forgiveness? I mean, did you discover anything about forgiveness? What is it? What does she go through in order to be able to forgive and just sort of, you know, be able to get on with her life?
Yeah, you know, it's through this journey she goes on, through these different characters that she meets along the way, that kind of open her eyes up to the meaning of forgiveness and how she needs that before she can move on with her life. Mm-hmm.
Now the movie itself isn't exactly a pro-life message preached really loud. It just sort of describes what's going on. And what is the reaction that audiences take to the film?
Yeah, you know, it's setting out to make the film. I mean, all of us involved, but especially the Irwins, when they set out writing the story, you know, they just wanted to tell a good story. It happens to be about an abortion survivor, but they're not pushing an agenda. They're not preaching. And that's something that's that I really connected with and that a lot of audiences have connected with. It's amazing the response we've gotten. People that have had a personal connection to the story in some way. There's been healing involved, you know, people that have just come up to us afterwards and just thanking us for making this film because they were really touched by it and it really spoke to their own lives in a certain way. So to be a part of something like that is actually touching people's lives is pretty incredible.
Yeah. Has this affected you at all? Do you have a deeper appreciation for life, for the parent-child relationship? What has this done for you?
Yeah, you know, I think while we were filming, I didn't really realize the type of impact this film would have. It was just kind of a fun thing that I was doing with friends. But now that the movie's been released and I've been seeing the reaction of people and been actually talking with and meeting people, whether it be abortion survivors or women who have had an abortion or some type of connection there, I think that's really opened up my eyes to the impact that we're having and just how people are being touched by this film. It kind of blown my mind what's been happening with the film and its effect on people.
Well, we certainly hope that people have a deeper appreciation for human life and for the preciousness of life. And we hope that that parent-child relationships will continue to deepen and grow as a result of the film that you have produced.
Yes, I hope so too. You know, there's the film definitely speaks into the beauty of each individual life, and I believe that it's true. And I hope that people will continue to connect with it.
Are you going to plan on working with the Irwin Brothers in the years to come? More projects ahead?
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, any time that they need me, I will be there. They're awesome guys, very talented, and some great friends of mine. So yeah, absolutely, I would.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time, Jason. Jason Berkey, lead actor in October Baby. Thanks again, man, for taking the time with us today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us, friends. Folks, there are some positive things happening in this country these days, and we like to cover these things from time to time. Granted, on the macro scale, there are some rather negative things happening here and there across the country, but we also have some tremendous things happening among the homeschoolers, among the Christian film producers, among some of the advocates of pro-family organizations around the country, including Alaska. And folks, good news from Alaska. Anchorage had Prop 5, which came down in flames over last Tuesday's election. Voters rejected by a wide margin on Tuesday an Anchorage, Alaska ballot proposition that would have extended citywide anti-discrimination protections to sexual orientation and transgender identity. This was a slam dunk, friends. It was a huge margin defeat, 58% to 42%. The good guy showed up to the ballot box in Anchorage and overcame this thing, despite the fact that the bad guys had outspent the good guys, as they always do, about 4-1 on this one. It was a 4-1 ratio, and much of the support for this thing a huge part of the support came from Tim Gill, a Colorado billionaire who has funded homosexual causes and won many, many, many legislative battles out here in Colorado over the last 10 to 15 years. So despite the fact Tim Gill threw $25,000 into the campaign in Anchorage, this thing came down in flames. And by the way, a similar ordinance passed the Anchorage Assembly in 2009, but was vetoed by Mayor Dan Sullivan. Sullivan won the election Tuesday by a similar margin that Proposition 5 lost by. His father, this is interesting, Sullivan's father, the former Anchorage Mayor George Sullivan, vetoed a similar proposal in 1976. Well, ladies and gentlemen, just a moment, I'm going to interview Alaska Family Association's Representative Jim Minery, who's been fighting this battle. I interviewed him just a few days before the election on Tuesday, but I think this interview is very important to give you an idea of the kind of battles that are being fought around the nation by the good guys. There are some good people in the battle fighting the good fight and bringing together some key people to fight against some of these things that could really disrupt our businesses, our schools, our Christian schools, our churches. You name it. When we have tyranny of the sort that Proposition 5 represents, it could just be disastrous if these things are approved in cities and states around the country. All right, Jim Minery, next on Generations. Stay with us, my friends.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
Folks, we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast, and the battle for family, the battle for freedom is heating up in Alaska this time. Proposition 5 is on the ballot and to be voted on within a few days now in Anchorage. And from the Family Policy Council up in Alaska, Jim Minery now joins me, and he's been part of the Protect Your Rights campaign, Vote No on 5. Jim, welcome to the Generations broadcast.
Hey, I appreciate it big time. It's an honor.
Yeah, Jim, we don't know a whole lot about what's going on up in Alaska, but it sounds to me like the same battles we're waging down here are affecting Alaska as well. Now, Proposition 5 apparently is trying to assign special rights to those with a special sexual orientation. Is that my understanding? Is that correct?
Yeah. What they're wanting to do is add sexual orientation and transgendered identity to the current Municipality of Anchorage Anti-Discrimination Code.
Okay.
And so what that would do is create an environment where those in the LGBT community will have the full force of the law behind them to put businesses out of the stream of commerce if they don't buy into and affirm the sexual liberty movement that's kind of sweeping across this country. And so it's the classic battle between religious liberty and sexual liberty, and you know it's we're kind of head to head right now in terms of the polls. It's really critical that we continue to get the word out and motivate the troops and lean on God. I mean, because it's a real battle, and we're just doing our best to present the truth with grace, but also you know, be very clear about the threat that this poses and what it's actually done in other communities across the country. And, you know, one of the guys that many of your listeners might be aware of that's supporting this effort to push Prop 5 is Tim Gill out of Colorado.
Yep.
And so we have the LGBT community across the country, actually, that has really placed a stake up here and doing their best to transform our culture. So we got a fight on our hands, but we got a lot of good people that are out there working hard. The churches have been really phenomenal in stepping up, and so you know, with God's grace, we'll defeat this thing on Tuesday.
I think the perception is that Alaska is conservative and maintains some semblance of family values. Is that true? Is that affect Anchorage? What's the demographic look like?
You know, I think Alaska is an independent-oriented state, meaning, you know, the vast majority of people are not registered, either Republican or Democrat. And I'd say there's a libertarian bend more than anything else. But this kind of resonates with those folks as well, because it's a serious intrusion by the government of, you know, how you can run your business.
Yeah.
And another regulation that is heaped on that really has negatively impacted the communities. And so I'd say, you know, in terms of real politics, we have a Republican, a conservative, Christian Republican governor. We have a Republican House. Our Senate on a local level is pretty liberal. But this is, I think, really made it clear that, you know, the gay, lesbian, and transgender movement across the country has really done a good job. I mean, you got to give it to them in terms of how they've been able to effectively change the youth, and those youth now are starting to become a voting age. And so there's no doubt that a lot of people that have been up here for a long time are kind of scratching their heads that it's this close of a race.
Well, the effects of this will probably reach a lot of families, a lot of businesses. How about churches, schools? Will these things be impacted by this enforced hiring standards and things, this highly regulative measure that's being voted on?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, the Catholic Church has been impacted specifically in their adoption efforts in other states when this kind of law is passed in terms of being required by the full force of the law to place kids into same-sex couples' homes. That'd be the same thing up here. And in terms of hiring practices for Christian schools and for faith-based groups, ministries, you know, they're right in the crosshairs on this in terms of if the court or the legislature, after if this passes, the court or the legislature is going to decide if the particular position that the gay or transgender person is applying for is reasonably calculated to promote their faith. That's a scary thought to think that a judge is going to decide that based on ministries and Christian schools that should have the full right to be able to hire how they want.
Jim, it seems to me that these issues do bring the faithful out, and it gives you an opportunity to organize the troops and get Christians to reexamine their own values and their own commitment to those values and their willingness to get out there, to get out of their comfortable little ghettos and engage the public policy issues like this.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think that, I do this full time, so this is a passion of mine. I like to do it on a regular basis. I mean, it's my sport, as it were. I mean, I do it like, breathing. But there's a lot of people out there that have had to kind of step out in a more of a public realm, even if it's with a neighbor or someone around the water cooler at work, to talk about an issue and to defend and define who it is that they are in terms of their faith. And, you know, I think that for a lot of folks, it's going to be, it's a positive thing to be able to realize that, hey, there are consequences. Christ said that we would be persecuted as we stand for truth. And I think that that is a good thing in terms of if you are strengthened by it and are able to better articulate your faith position and have a reason for your hope, then we're moving in the right direction.
It seems to me, Jim, there ought to be more church attenders, professing Christians in Anchorage than Tim Gill devotees who want to impose hiring quotas on churches and schools.
Yeah, but, you know, I have to admit, Tim's done a phenomenal job across the country, as you know well, in not just funding. I mean, you know, that's a big part of it, of course, but mm-hmm. he has a very clear understanding of how to motivate troops from the ground up and really put together a system that gets people off their duffs and knocks on doors and really, transforms the culture. We have to do the same thing. And like I said, I give credit to, you know, we had a pastor briefing recently where we had 120 pastors that came and we brought the Alliance Defense Fund up to give a real solid kind of legal perspective on the threats that this poses. And a lot of them are giving sermons from the pulpit. They're submitting church bulletin inserts and writing editorials and doing it with truth and grace. And so it's been pretty encouraging to see even the African-American community has really been impressive stepping forward and saying enough is enough as far as the gay rights movement, making the comparison to the civil rights movement. That's been very encouraging to see them kind of get their feet under them and saying, we're insulted. We're not going to hear this anymore, and we're going to have a voice. So, overall, the big picture is pretty cool to kind of see it unfold in terms of truth getting out there in a big way. God's in charge. He knows every battle, and this one was meant to be. We're just honored to be have an opportunity to be in it.
Well, appreciate what you're doing, Jim Minnery. God bless your efforts up there in Alaska. We'll continue to pray for you.
God bless you, too. Thanks so much. Say hello to the folks down in Colorado for me.
We will. And ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Get your friends and family members tuning in to us, whether it be Alaska, Canada, Japan, Korea, anywhere around the world. We have over 100 nations now tuning into this radio program. That's right, over 100 nations tuning in to this radio program, accessible on the internet. And folks, this is one of the best ways to reach people around the world by the internet. And I can do it from my basement. And I am competing with NBC, CBS, and ABC with my own take on the news, applying a biblical perspective, a biblical ethical perspective, and metaphysical perspective to all of the issues that confront us in today's world. You can get this program again anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.